Moncrief on News Talk.
It is important that couples, especially if they have kids, get some time to themselves and have dates. But what Kel Gallivan, known as Mrs. Smart Money, proposes isn't quite so romantic. She says they should have money dates and be prepared to ask all sorts of questions about finances. Afternoon, Kel.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Do couples not talk to each other about money? Is it still a taboo thing?
Do you know what? Things are getting a lot better. But ultimately, when it comes to relationships, money is still one of the big causes of arguments and stress in relationships. And not having those conversations, it's a really bad thing for long-term managing your money and getting all that kind of stuff sorted and that transparency that comes with having those conversations. So yes, I am a big fan of money dates.
Yes. And how often would you have to go on the money date?
It really depends. I mean, if money is a bone of contention, or if you find that one is worried about money or one is seeing the other one as a bit of a spender or wasting money, it gets important to have them really regularly and potentially, I'll scare people now when I say this, like even every week, like one day a week, but it doesn't have to be a big serious thing. And over time you can space them out. But the main thing is to have that conversation and an open conversation, not a blaming one, not I'm right, you're wrong, but more of a, well, look, let's sit down and have a look at where we are with our money. Let's see what's coming in. Let's see what responsibilities we have. Are there any big bills coming up? And then with the money that's left over, what will we do about it? And have a wee conversation and try and slowly but surely get both people on the same page.
Yeah, but that sounds more like one person, the adult, has to try and drag the slightly less adult person onto that page.
Look, money is one of those things. Like, we work our behinds off to get the money in the door, and we bring our A games with work. And as a thank you for that job well done with our companies and what we work for, we get our paycheck. And we're handed this paycheck, and we're suddenly told, just you build your life with this. You just make everything happen magically. But rarely are we actually taught how to deal with money. And some people, they might be seen as a bit of a spender, but they mightn't have had maybe the best upbringing with money, or maybe they have a lot of fears around it, or they're not sure how to handle it properly. And I mean, that's not their fault, but being blamed for it might not help them get better. Whereas at least if somebody approached the conversation with, look, we are where we are, let's move forward, let's get it all out there. Nobody is perfect with money, because you could have a saver who gets no joy out of spending money, and we only live once, so you have to have balance there. But also somebody who's really big into saving, they mightn't be happy either if they don't have proper goals or milestones, or, you know, let's get this deposit for our house, or let's have that holiday for a lifetime, or, you know, like when will we start having kids, and give lovely milestones to work towards. And there's much more fun in that than just saving for saving's sake or spending for spending's sake.
If a couple are just not at that stage yet, they haven't moved in yet, they're going out, as we used to say in the old fashioned days. When should you start bringing money up? When should you ask, how much money do you earn? Do you have a pension? That kind of stuff.
Oh, they're two big questions, and I probably wouldn't bring those up straight away, but no. I would definitely have smaller conversations. And just to kind of get a feel for where they are with money and to see how compatible you are in the beginning, and just have the conversations, because the biggest thing with money is leaving it a really long time and having it as a taboo. That's not going to help anything. But starting early, like maybe going, okay, you know, we're going out a short while now, let's go on a weekend away and just see how that plays out. And that'll open up a discussion on, well, how do we pay for the hotel, or how do we pay for the travel there? And if somebody approaches it in that kind of nice, open way, you're going to get a really good feel for where the other person is. But also it opens the whole conversation to a balanced approach, because things have changed now. Most of us are working and most of us are earning money in some shape or form. And we're all trying to build lives together as couples. And it's important to play our part. And I think starting early and starting slow with simple things like, you know, who's paying for dinner? Will we go halves? Will we take turns? Things like that. And just starting off on a really nice togetherness foot. And it really does come back to having the we approach to money.
So at that stage, you might find yourself a deal breaker in the sense of, you know, he's all, if I have it, I spend it.
Yeah, look, there will be some people that might come across like that. But usually if you ask the conversation, oh, well, what made you make that decision? Or I'd even throw in the question, like, how was your house growing up when it came to money? And just see what comes out of that, because sometimes it might just be a lack of understanding or something that they're carrying from their younger years. And they might just need a little nudge and maybe a bit of sympathy and support to kind of bring them on a bit. But look, there will come times, Sean, when money, their relationship with money might be a deal breaker. And you're better off finding these things out early and kind of going, okay, well, this is something that looks like it's not going to change. I've tried to have the conversation. You know, I've tried to maybe work on things together, or, you know, working, having those discussions and stuff, and it just doesn't seem to be working. And maybe learning that early might, for you, go, do you know what? This isn't a long-term thing for me. Mm-hmm. But you're better off finding that out early, as opposed to 5 or 10 years down the line when you're trying to figure out a mortgage or kids or something like that.
One of our listeners, Kel, says, I'm seeing a guy who I know earns so much more than I do. It's beginning to intimidate me, and I don't want him to know how little my take-home pay is, because he seems to spend money so easily. I know this is going to be a major issue going forward.
That is a big one. And there's two things I would look at there. First of all, just because somebody spends easily doesn't necessarily mean they have the world's biggest income coming in. That could just be maybe not the ideal spending habit or spending balance. That's one thing. But if this girl, if she really feels this relationship is going somewhere, and he's at the same stage as her going, this is a girl I want to spend the rest of my life with, it's definitely worth having that conversation, because it might not bother him at all. He might just be unaware of his spending habits. And particularly if he is a bigger earner, well, that's the luck of the draw in many ways. Like, we're all dealt different cards in life and we choose different paths in life. And that might not be an issue for him. But if it's something she's carrying, she needs to let him know, because if, particularly if it's intimidating her, because that's not the best way to be going forward, you know, with a relationship. And he'll probably understand, and he'll probably maybe pair things back, or have slightly different conversations, or you'll get a better picture. But definitely approach it, even if it's in a lighthearted way of, oh, look, you know, I probably don't earn as much as you, and I feel maybe sometimes I'm not pulling my weight, or whatever it is, whatever that works, but do have the conversation.
Yeah. And should jobs be divvied up in terms of, you know, you pay the utility bills, I'll pay the mortgage, you know, that kind of thing? Or should everything be split 50-50?
No, not necessarily, because every relationship is different and where we are in our lives are different. So let's say there is a couple and they're both working away, but let's say they get married and next thing they have a mortgage and there's a child on the way. Well, having the conversation, you need to know, first of all, well, maybe does one parent want to take a bit of time off? Or what does that look like? You know, will they have no income coming in, or will they be part-time? And just because somebody's working part-time and minding a child, you know, there has to be allowances made for that, because they're doing the heavy lifting in a different part of the relationship. So this, again, it goes back to conversation every single time. So really, I think when it comes to divvying those out, it will depend on relationship to relationship where you are within that. I am a firm believer in everybody standing on their own 2 feet, but standing on your own 2 feet could be doing, you know, rearing the children at home for a couple of years, or, you know, it could be both parents genuinely want to be out working because they really enjoy their jobs. Well, then how is childcare managed? So it's not necessarily a 50-50. It's a where are you in your life and what are you both expecting from that relationship?
Having a runaway fund, is that permitted in your book?
That's really old school. It's still alive and well, Sean, for better or worse, that it's still there. I do think things are changing, though, because that is from a time when a lot of women couldn't work. Like, legally, they couldn't work once they were married, or they didn't work, and children or families were generally maybe a lot bigger, and life was very different back then. So women overall didn't necessarily have the independence that they may be able to have now by having the education, having a job, having their own income. But I still think, male or female or whatever sort of couple, like, it is definitely worth having a bit of money every single month that's aside, that's for you. For you and nobody else. And whether you're buying jelly babies or fighter jets with it, it's up to you to spend that money as you choose to spend it, or save it, or invest it, or whatever you want to do. But there needs to be a portion that is just yours, for you to do with as you please.
Though I imagine there might be an argument about where to park all the fighter jets. You need to have a big house for that. My husband lied about his gambling debt. It nearly tore us apart. It's so hard to tackle family finances if one person is keeping a secret, though that's an extreme case of what we've been talking about, I suppose.
That is, but it's way more common than we like to think that it is.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. And it's a very tough situation to be in there, because when that sort of thing happens, it's very emotional. And it's not just the financial side, it's the hurt side. It's the holding things back from the other partner side. And this is where conversations can really be tough to have. So I think if possible, like when you're even on your early dating stage, it's so important to have the conversations early so that the other person feels safe enough in one respect to have the conversation to say, look, I messed up here. I've been gambling. And for the other partner to feel safe and supported that there is transparency in there. And if something is going on, that you can work through it together and get the right help together. But that comes back to having the freedom and the non-judgmental space around money.
I'm seeing someone who's basically bankrupt. He has nothing. I don't have much. I want to keep seeing him, but his money situation puts me off, which is sad because he's great, but skint. Should she dump him?
Well, that's I'd be very slow because to just dump somebody on the without knowing the full story. But potentially he just got really unlucky. Like he could have just something could have happened and you just don't know. And we all have histories and we all have pasts. But I do think definitely, oh God, I feel like I'm repeating myself, have the conversation. Like, what's he doing now? Right? Whatever happened in the past, we can't change that. But is he working now? Is he, you know, is he working to educate himself or get a better job or bring in more money? Like, what is he doing now? Because that's going to be more telling of your future than anything that's ever happened in the past.
Yeah. Kel, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Kel Gallivan there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.